Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello, and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, and I'm joined in the studio once again by Nick Watts. We also have Tom Siegel and Paul Binfield from Paddy Power on the line as well, what I like to call the dream team. Coming up on today's show, we'll reflect on the weekend's action, including a pulsating coral eclipse. But first, we're going to look ahead to Newmarket's July meeting, which kicks off on Thursday. But first off, Tom, are you in a better mood than last week?
My first takeout, Bruce, was that it was the worst derby I've ever seen in my entire life, I think, and that bar none. What the hell were Sylvester D'Souza and Mark Johnson doing? I reckon they were 3-1 at the start of the race, about 6-4 after two furlongs, and 33-1 after about four. They allowed the race to then turn into a stupid race. Everything about it suggests that the race was just a nonsense from start to finish. The worst derby I've ever seen in my entire life, bar none.
We all in the office got a great kick out of that, it must be said.
I was quite grumpy, wasn't I? My God, what had happened that day? Had England lost? No, they're still in it, aren't they?
Have you got it out of your system now?
Oh, depends what you ask me, Maddy. I might go off on a rant in a minute.
Was the eclipse any better?
Eclipse is better than that, that's for sure, yeah.
Anyway, I did have to admit, I did laugh an awful lot when Jack showed us that, so well done, Jack, and fair play, Tom, for taking it on
the chin. Well done, Jack! What about me? I'm the one that's going to be caned for it. Well, forget Jack.
Yeah. You're the star of the show and all that. Good weekend?
Yeah, very lovely. Good, thanks. Yeah, no, it was fantastic. It was largely based around the sofa, keeping out the heat and watching football and watching racing with a beer in my hand. So, yeah, not too bad at all.
That makes me very envious. Binners, how are you? Good weekend was had, was it?
Yeah, really good weekend, Maddie. Down at Sandown for the eclipse. And I must say, I met the Reading boys, Jason and Luke, who work in a betting shop down that way with their friend Tubsy. And they were all over me. They thought it was great to meet me. But then I realised it was all a pretense. And the only fact they were pleased to see me was that they were huge Maddy Plough fans. They couldn't stop talking about you personally or your tips, Maddy.
Oh, God.
Reading fans, were they? Yeah, that sums them up, doesn't it?
Anyway, right, we're starting off with the July meeting. Thanks, Tom. Yeah.
Well, that's me, you see. I'm a massive Reading fan too, so...
Oh, okay. Well, they must be judges then, mustn't they?
Yeah, clearly.
Right. Shush. Order restored. Of course, we kick off on Thursday at the July meeting. The Group 2 Princess of Wales Arcana Racing Club Stakes is the standout race on day one. Have we got any betting at this stage for the race, Binners?
Yes, we have, Maddy. We make Mirage Dancer the 11-4 favourite, then 7-2 both Barsanti and DXB, 4 Ra Atoll, 11-2 Giretto, 7 Best Solution, and it's 8 Bar.
Will your favourite horse, DXB, run in this race, do you reckon, Tom?
Doubt it. Doubt it very much. I mean, I think he should do. I think he's an absolute penalty kick if he runs.
Yeah.
But
As if he's not going to turn up, isn't he?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? 3-year-olds against older horses at this time of the year having a tremendous advantage, and yet none of them ever run in this race. I was looking through it the other day, and I think 3 in the last 10 years have even run in it, let alone win it. Mm. And I think getting 8, you know, let's not forget, he's second in a derby. Mirage Dancer was, what was he? Fifth in a listed race last time.
Yeah.
And you're asking for the fifth in the Wolverton to give the second in the derby nearly a stone, and yet he's favourite over him. Oh, my God. Mm. I thought that would be if DXB ran, it'd be all over him, but looks like he won't run.
Your selection then? Ra Atoll's another 3-year-old in there, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he'll run either. I mean, I'd be interested if Aidan O'Brien's horse ran, Lucius Tiberius. Mm-hmm. Another Camelot. Camelot's having a great time at the moment, isn't it? Hunting Horn, Athena the other day, the 2-year-old of Tom Dascombe's.
Arthur Kitt,
yeah. He won a handicap last time by miles at the Curragh. I think he's an typical of the O'Brien horse. I think he'd go well. Actually, quite like Muntahar, actually, if he runs.
Oh, yeah.
I thought of all the older horses, if the 3-year-olds don't run, I thought he ran really well at Ascot last time. He was third in the... Was it the Wolverton?
Yeah, it was
in
front of Mirage Dancer, wasn't he? Yeah, I backed him in the Wolverton,
He was in front of Mirage Dancer. Now, of course, Mirage Dancer didn't get the best of runs, but... Mm-hmm. And was giving him £3. But I think, you know, he beat him a length or so, and there's no reason why I can't do it again. And I thought he was... Mm. The prices, and he looks like he's going to run because Jim Crowley's already jocked up. I thought that might be the one.
Yeah, he was a bit of a rogue back in the day, but I think dropping him back into it probably sorted him out a bit.
And holding him up. I think they were sort of using him a lot, using him up quite a lot. But as a three-year-old, I remember John Gosden was quite keen on him winning the St. Ledger, and I think it doesn't stay that trip. You're right. Coming back in trips helped him.
Yeah. Okay, what's your 2 cents on the first race?
Oh, God, I don't know. It's a funny old race, this, isn't it, really? It's like Tom said, if DXB did turn up, then you would have to fancy him on the basis of what he's done so far. And yeah, I mean, you say the betting suggests he won't go, but it wouldn't be, you know, it would be typical of Mark Johnston to keep
him
going. You know, other trainers would possibly give him a break after running in two derbies, but we know Mark Johnston's not like that. He keeps them going, and sometimes, you know, they put a bad run behind them and they come out with a win. I mean, historically, this isn't a race I've liked in the past. It's like I said, there's been a few funny results. Mirage Dancer as favourite, I'm not certain about him or why he's market leader. Yeah, I mean, he was a bit unlucky in the Wolferton last time out, and he's a stout older horse. Stout's got a very good record in this race, so I suppose there's reasons for it. But you know, he's not bomb proof at the top of the market. I just think it's all a bit of a mess. I'd rather see the final decks. If DXB ran, then obviously he would be the obvious one. But I haven't got a big price or a particularly value alternative which I'm screaming out to back either.
Tom, were you a bit disappointed with Barsanti's run in the Hardwick? Because he could go here, couldn't he? What do you make of him?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm going to start again, aren't I? I'm going to start off again. Relax, take a deep breath, Tom. Well, I just thought it was a bad race, the Hardwick, wasn't it? And so, yes, I was very disappointed. But having said that, Cliffs of Moher ran very well in the Eclipse on Saturday, didn't he? And so, I mean, I think the change in tack sort of holding him out and holding him up and sort of last a challenge helped.
I don't think
we
had a choice in holding him up. He was like a snail from the stalls.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, it was a little bit disappointing, undoubtedly, in the thing. I personally don't, you know, he's got form on fire. I'm just not convinced he runs it that lightning fast. I know he's won on it, and I know, but Champs-Élysées tend to like a little bit of give. I know he's got very good form on fast. I'd just be slightly worried about him on the ground. That's all.
Okay, Binners, any final thoughts to add? What can you see happening with DXB? Do you reckon he'll turn up?
I don't know. I think I'm probably going along with the boys on that one. Maddie, the horse I do like is Best Solution for Saeed Bin Saroy. He had a bit of a break since Maidan. Apparently did a nice piece of work on the grass at Newmarket last Thursday. And his forming a couple of runners up in group ones in France and Germany would put him there if he puts his best foot forward.
Okay, moving on. Also on Thursday, we've got the Bahrain Trophy, won last year by Raheen House. And we've also got the July Stakes as well. Any betting on the Bahrain Trophy first off, Binners?
Yes, Maddie. We can't separate First 11 or Giuseppe Garibaldi. They're both 7-2 favourites. Then it's 4 Southern France, 9-2 Loxley, 5 Rat Atoll, 7 El Mogared, and it's 9-1 the rest.
Okay. Tom, I'm not sure if it was you. You'll have to tell me off if I'm wrong. But was it you who was really impressed by First 11 at Royal Ascot?
I don't think it was me, but I was quite impressed with him. Obviously, he was very unlucky not to win. I like Binner's pronunciation of Giuseppe Garibaldi there. You'll get a job in the old Italian embassy anytime you like.
He's already offered me one, Tom.
I thought Southern France was the interesting one, but maybe Binner knows he's not going to run from the Aidan O'Brien yard. I also thought a horse of Charlie Appleby's, Loxley, is very interesting. I know all season long, this has been their sort of second best horse behind Massar in a way. I mean, if you read all the quotes, we're definitely going for the St. Ledger. He's a really good horse, all this, that.
Okay.
After he won his maiden last year, I mean, they took him straight to the Racing Post Trophy. And he was seventh to Saxmora. Then he's come out and beaten Raymond Tusk by miles at Newmarket time before. I think he's an interesting horse going up in trip.
Okay. Watsy?
It'd be First 11 for me, definitely. He's also followed for a long time now. He was clueless last season as a two-year-old.
He
watched his first couple of starts. Because he's half-brother to Kingman, I think. Very well-bred, Frankel colt. He looked nothing special at all. But obviously it's just taken ages for the penny to drop with him. He was beaten in a handicap on his first start this season off a mark of 77, I think. But he's really getting the hang of things now. I think he's up to 97 as we go into this race. And as most people saw last time, I thought he was a pretty unlucky loser at Royal Ascot. you know, behind Baghdad. I think on another day he would have won that quite comfortably. And it's interesting, Tom's always said that Frankel horses do stay very well, and this is another incarnation of it. You know, he's going up to a mile and five, and you think, well, with his Kingman was quite a speedy horse, but definitely he gets some staying genes from his sire. And yeah, I think he could well win this. I think he's on a steep upward curve, and he's, you know, you could virtually call him a winner at Royal Ascot, even though he actually didn't, because I think he was most unlucky. So he's the one that's going forward at the right time, if you like. And yeah, Giuseppe Garibaldi in southern France, you know, they're kind of, one or either of them could come over from Aidan O'Brien's yard, but I don't think either would strike fear into you particularly.
Southern. Any chance you get sucked into Wells Fargo moving up in trip? What do you think?
Well, I was just, I did have a look at him as well, Tom, because, you know, you look at, back at his two-year-old form, and he's obviously capable of better than he's shown. I thought there was a small step in the right direction last time. And these kind of races, obviously, Tim Easterby will be working back from the St. Ledger. I think this is a great trial for the St. Ledger. Mask Marvel and others have won it in the past and gone on to win at Doncaster. So I wouldn't be surprised to see an improved run from him. But first 11's been on kind of my tracker ever since he made his debut last season, so I'm going to stick with him.
Okay, moving on to the Arcana July Stakes. This is a race to get really excited about. We've got Legends of War hopefully returning, of course, Mr. Coventry Stakes, and the second from that race, Advertise, and Sergei Prokofiev facing off in that. Binners, have you got any
for this? Yes, we have. We've got three at the top end this time, Maddie. Advertise, Legends of War, and Sergei Prokofiev. They're all 7-2 favourite.
Then it's Embassy, it's Russian embassy now for your binners.
Yeah, listen, Sergei Prokofiev. Yeah, I'm not a great fan of that horse, Tom. When we went to Nace first time out, on, I think it was Navan actually, and we thought one.
Oh, you
of
told
Brendan
us about this, yeah.
Yeah, and Sergei went past him like he was a rocket or something, but and I still can't pronounce him. 6-1 Van Beethoven, 8 Land Paulson Urban Icon, and it's 10-1 Bar.
Tom, the two-year-olds in general, how good are they?
Love them. Love two-year-old racing. Think it's fantastic.
No,
I'm really,
as in quality as a crop.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm getting to. Yeah, I think they're really good this season. I think they're really good. I love Calix, obviously. Mm. I thought Johnny Gosden's one at Sandown was really good. I thought there was plenty at Ascot. There was. I don't think the fillies races so far have been very good, but I'm really looking forward to this. I think if it's a rematch between Advertise and Sergei Prokofiev, it's a toss of the coin job for me. I probably slightly prefer Sergei Prokofiev of the two. I'm not sure he'll come over, but there's plenty of others in there, isn't there, that you could make. I mean, Legends of War is really interesting. One of the most expensive breeze up horses by Scat Daddy and looked really good on his debut. I don't think the form's that good, but you know, you make a case for loads in there. I mean, I think personally it'll be between the two if they run Sergei Prokofiev and Advertise. I love the Coventry form. I personally would just favour Sergei Prokofiev, but it would only be a toss of the coin job.
Okay. I had a look at this race. I liked a horse called Confiding. Martin Meadsos thought he was quite impressive on debut, so it'd be interesting to see if he
turns
up.
They won't run both, will they? Do you think they'd run both? I don't know.
That's true. We'll have to
Advertise
have to see.
And, you know, maybe one or the other, maybe.
Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, similar to Tom, we've been on these podcasts a lot this summer, and we were both very impressed with Legends of War when he won his debut. And I remember discussing it before Royal Ascot, and we weren't sure how he was going to split him and Calix, and whether Calix, who came out after Legends of War, would go to the Coventry. He did in the end, and obviously won quite comfortably. Legends of War was being kept back for this race. And it's an interesting mix, isn't it? Because he's just a once race maiden, and as Tom said, the form hasn't worked out brilliantly. Stepping up against a horse like Sergei Prokofiev, who's got experience and class as well, and went to Royal Ascot and ran with great credit there. So he's got experience and class on his side. Legends of War was still a bit of a guessing game in certain respects, but obviously from what he did on his debut. And I think the fact that he's trained by Gosden as well can give you confidence too, because obviously he's got a good crop this year. He's obviously got Calix in the bag as well, so he knows where he stands with a lot of these horses. And
do you think he'll be using this race as a guide to see, well, how good is Legends of War compared to Calix?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, if Legends of War wins this quite cosily, then, you know, he's got two absolutely superstar colts to go to war with for the rest of this season and obviously beyond. So it's just whether you, I think you take the experience angle or whether you take the potential angle. I like to go for, you know, I wouldn't say it's taking a chance because we all saw Legends of War what he did on his debut, but I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt and hope that he can overcome that kind of the more experience that Sergei's got and get the better of him.
Yeah, he was quite professional on debut as well, and as a breeze at Pulse, you'd probably say that he's got a bit more sort of experience under his belt in that respect. Bin, is anything to add on the July stakes?
Well, it's not interesting I throw any insight into these postcasts, but I think I might be able to on this one. A few weeks ago, Aidan suggested that Sergei Prokofiev and Van Beethoven might go for the Phoenix Stakes at the Curra, and Landforce could come over for this race, the July Stakes. So if that is still the case, and admittedly Landforce has now had a confidence booster in a listed race at Tipperary, the 8-1 on Landforce could be a big price, but obviously I don't have I don't have agents.
That's a very good point because it's grade one in the Phoenix Stakes, isn't it? I think if I remember rightly,
it is. And my that's right. And reading between the lines, I thought that Lamphorse might be number three in the pecking order, and they might try and win this with him, Tom.
Yeah, I think you could be spot on.
In which case, Tom, you'd be siding with Advertise then?
Yeah, probably. I mean, look, come the day, I'll probably be on something else. I'll do what Watsy says and try and find the potential against what we've already done. Look, Advertise is going to be a short price, isn't he? If Sergei doesn't turn up, then it'll be like 9-4, won't he? Something like that, probably. And, you know, it's not my game to tell everyone that what the obvious is. 9-4 favourite can win. Yeah, we'll let them win. So I'll try and look for something else. But if you're going to ask me which is the most likely winner without Sergei Prokofiev, I would definitely say Advertise, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. We'll start talking about the Falmouth Stakes just after this.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. We've started previewing Newmarket's July meeting, and we're going to talk about the Group 1 Falmouth Stakes, which is happening on Friday. Aidan O'Brien's going for a hat-trick in the race, having won it with Roly Poly and Alice Springs. Good news is Alpha Centauri, who was so brilliant at Royal Ascot, is going to turn up, according to Jessica Harrington. Can you see her beaten, Watsy?
No, nothing much to say about this race. I thought she was sensational in Coronation Stakes, backing up her win in the Irish Guineas. It's going to be exactly the ground conditions that she wants again. This long, hot summer suits her perfectly. She loves quick ground. And there's absolutely no reason why anything that finished behind her at Ascot should reverse the form here. I think Clemmy might have another go. She, in the second half of the season, might get back to something like she was last year, but she's not there yet. And, you know, she's going to have a hell of a job to get near Alpha Centauri. There's not much to say about it. If she turns up and she's in a similar form to how she was at Royal Ascot, she wins, and that's the end of the story.
Okay, nice and succinct. Tom, can you see any chinks whatsoever in Alpha Centauri?
No, Watsy's right. She's the best. She's the best 3-year-old in training. She'll win. Threading will be second. Move on, Maddie.
Right, I've been told. I was just going to ask you one other question, and that's if Rhododendron turns up, what do you think happened to her in the Queen Anne? Do you think they'll run up? What's the deal with her?
She's just not anywhere near good enough. She sort of fluked the lock-in, didn't she? I think it'd be a massive shock to me if she can give Alpha Centauri, what, £9. I would be staggered. I'd be staggered. It clearly wasn't at her best in the at Ascot, but I didn't see any great excuses for her. And just look through her form, she beat Hydrangea by a head, didn't she, at over a mile and a quarter at Chantilly at the back end last year in the Opera, is it? And then she scraped home from Lightning. Nothing there reads to me like, you know, obviously you go back to her. To the Filly's Mile when she was a 2-year-old, but it's a long time ago now. You sort of have her down as a wonder horse, and I can't see, you know, she's done nothing that suggests she'll ever beat Alpha Centauri over a mile.
Okay. Binner's betting and anything to add?
Yeah, with Alpha Centauri, 6-4 on, Maddie. Great to see your story on the website this morning that she's going to run. Then it's 6-1, Rhododendron and Fredding, 10-1, the rest. I agree with the lads. I think Alpha Centauri is looks close to unbeatable. She was a revelation at Royal Ascot. But my only point against her is that six of the last 10 winners of the Falmouth have been older horses. But she looks so good, doesn't she? You know.
Moving on to the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes. Tom, you've said that you weren't overly impressed with the two-year-old fillies at Royal Ascot, but here we see, or we could see rather, Main Edition take on Fairyland again. Do you see the same result happening?
Not really, no. I don't know. Main Edition must have had a really hard race. She was very, very tough at Ascot. I'm not... Mm-hmm. They were on different sides of the track, weren't they? It's hard to know. You've got to throw in Angel's Hideaway. You've got to throw in La Pelosa. I really do think you throw those four up in the air and, you know, one, you know, every day we watch these races, don't we? And the forms change around. I have no idea which of those four would come out on top. I probably slightly prefer Fairyland of the four of them, but it's only marginal. I'd be, you know, a bigger price. I thought Michael Bell's filly, Pretty Pollyanna, mm-hmm. ran a really eye-catching race in the Albany. She was fifth, but it was only her second run. And she sort of came from a long way back on the near side. She wasn't beaten far at all. If she was a double-figure price, I might be quite interested in her. But, I mean, I think we're waiting for a really top filly to come out yet. I'm not sure we've seen one yet. And, therefore, I'm sort of a bit loath because there doesn't seem to be sort of an unexposed sort of 1-1 horse in there that you could sort of make a case for. So,
yeah.
So maybe have a crack at Michael Bell's filly, Pretty Pollyanna. I probably will on the day, that's for sure.
Okay, Binners, have we got any prices on her yet?
We do indeed, yeah. Main Edition, 5-2 favourite, 7-2 Fairyland and La Pelosa, 6-1 Angel's Hideaway, 8 Gossamer Wings and Natalie's Joy, and it's 10-1 bar.
Okay, what's the any strong thoughts on the Duchess of Cambridge?
No, not massively. I think it's like Tom said, it's hard to gauge at the moment. A lot depends on what Aidan O'Brien's going to run. He's got a couple from that came from the Queen Mary as well, Gossamer Wings, who was second in that So Perfect fourth. They're both entered two. So would he side with one of those two? Would he go with Fairyland? You know, with so many of his entries in there at this stage, it's very hard to kind of ascertain what the final fields might look like. The one that's done the most right, obviously, is Main Edition. But I'm kind of siding with Tom here and looking for something a bit more outside the box, and maybe the Michael Bell filly does come into it. I just think it's hard at this stage. I want to see the final field. I know it's sitting on the fence, but there's so many imponderables here, depending on who runs. It's hard to come up with a conclusive verdict.
Moving on to a race which you should be able to say a little bit more about is the July Cup. We're going to go into more detail on this race on Friday's tipping show. But for now, Blue Point King Stand winner, he's stepping back up to 6 furlongs. Binners, is he a strong favourite?
Well, he is, Maddie, at the top end. 3-1 favourite, and then it's 9-2 US Navy Flag. 11-2 Ectidae, who won the Commonwealth Cup. 7-1 Sands of Mali, who ran well in that as well, second. 9-1 Redcoat Warrior, and 10-1 bar.
Excellent. Binners mentions the three-year-olds in the Ectidae and Sands of Mali. Tom, how do you think they'll match up with the older sprinters?
Good question. I personally think they've got a bit to prove at the moment, but I think they could easily find the improvement. I don't think take out Blue Point. I don't think the older sprinters are anything to write home about at all. I can't
Harry Angel
work.
Not going to run now.
Yeah, Harry Angel's out. Limato could easily bounce back. You know, he's a sprinter. I don't know what Henry Candy's been trying to do. I think back at 6 furlongs, I think he'd be put a. You know, I think he's just a much better horse. Once again, though,
so much has been said about this horse. So, how many chances do you give him?
Well, he's pretty good over 6 furlongs, though. He was only beaten a length by Harry Angel in this last year. You know, I'm staying on well. I think he's worth another chance. I'm not sure I'll back him here because his form this season has been so bad. But they've both been over a mile. I think worth, you know, he's a sprinter. I'm one of the clowns, Maddie. I'm a clown.
You're a clown.
I'm a clown. I'm one of John Gosden's clowns. I like Dreamfield a bit. I'm one of those clowns that back Dreamfield to win the Stewards' Cup.
Oh, ouch.
At 4-1.
Backing a horse for a blooming 20-run handicap at 4-1.
Tommy hasn't run in the Stewards' Cup yet.
The Wokingham. Good point, Binners. Very good. Your pronunciation might be rubbish, but you know you're racing. I'm one of those clowns. Call me Coco. I thought, I think if you ran the race again tomorrow, it'd be 5-4. let alone 2-1 when he said we were all clowns for backing him at 2-1. I thought he was desperately unlucky not to win. And I think it's quite funny that John says, oh, you were all clowns for backing them, but we'll go and run him in the July Cup next time, a Group 1.
Yeah.
I think he knows that he's a good horse. I think he was unlucky and in the Wokingham, and I think he's going to go. I think he's definitely a Group 1 sprinter. Whether he's this good, I don't know, but we're not going to get a clown-like price this time. We're going to get 10 double figures, and I think maybe on the day I might end up with him. I don't. Yeah, I do. Yeah, he's 9-1 now. I think Binner said, didn't you, Binner?
10-1. Yeah.
10-1. There we go. He's double figure price now. I don't understand Redkirk Warrior. I don't because he looked awful at. He looked awful at Ascot. He was one of the first beat. Clearly he's better than that, but. Oh, you take a chance backing him.
Well,
he gave the
winner of the Diamond Jubilee £11, didn't he, in a beating in Australia?
He did. That was in Australia, though, isn't it? They're quite good at cricket in Australia, aren't they, Watsy? They can't play over here, though, can they?
Well, they
these days.
Stop. I heard enough about this before we went live on air.
I honestly think Blue Point is definitely the one to beat. I thought he was really, really good at Ascot. I think holding him up, I think they've been using him too much. And I think if he can get a lead off US Navy Flag or whoever, I think he's the one to beat. But he's no, what is he, 3-1 now? Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm looking at Dreamfield and Limato, really. I think they're the value.
What do you make of Blue Point's winning the King's Stand? Do you think the others sort of fell away and he was gifted it? Or do you think... that's the real Blue Point we saw.
No, I don't think you can ever be gifted a King's Stand. I think you have to work for it. And, he was very impressive. And, you know, he's shown before Ascot, he's a real force to be reckoned with. And he beat Harry Angel, didn't he, first time out last season there as well. So he's obviously a real force. And he's the one they've all got to beat. I'm interested to see US Navy Flag coming back in trip.
That's the one I was going to mention to Tom. Yeah, US Navy Flag.
Well, it's an obvious angle. Aidan O'Brien's done this before, the likes of Stravinsky and Mozart. US Navy Flag's never convinced me that he was a miler. He didn't, but his class kind of let him finish second in an Irish Guineas. Mm-hmm. But I've got absolutely no doubt that a mile isn't his best trip. It's 6 or 7 furlongs, as he showed last season with the Middle Park and Dewhurst double. I just want to see him roll. Just want to see him break early, get out in front, and just run these ragged. And it's going to be easier said than done, but I'm sure those are going to be the tactics. He's very, very effective on fast ground. So again, he's another one that this long, hot summer is absolutely perfect for him.
I really don't like him, Watsy.
So no?
I get, here I get we go the again. Trip.
It's 0.4529 his form figures, and he's 4-1 to win the Blimmin' July Cup. Now I get he's back in trip. But he's done. Can he run 58 seconds for 6 furlongs? That's what you're asking him to do. I have seen no evidence that he's that fast. Now, he's nutty against those milers. I get it. And I totally agree with you that dropping back to sprinting is what he needs. But do you think he's good enough? I mean, even when he won the Middle Park, he beat Fleet Review and Card Sharp. You're asking him to beat Blue Point and, you know, and Limato here. It's a big step up, even on his 2-year-old form. I don't know. What do you think? Am I wrong?
No, I mean, I agree. You'd like to see a bit more margin in his price. What was he, 4-1?
Yeah,
that probably is a little bit tight, on the tight side, to be honest. But
9-2.
9-2. 9-2. 4.5 with Paddy Power. Might well be bigger on the day. He might well be a drifter. You might get a bit more mileage on the day than there is at the moment. But
If you fancy him.
I do take Tom's point of view that he probably does need to step up. But I just think he is a really fast horse. He loves fast ground. I think if he gets out rolling, I think he might prove very hard to pass. Because he's one of those kind of obdurate horses that I think when he's on his game and when he's out in front, he just digs in, and I think it's quite difficult to get hold of him. And if he gets in a scrap with somebody, another horse, then...
he didn't get the credit he deserved last season either. He wasn't one of these sort of stylish horses. He just kept on improving and stepping up.
Well, he ran a lot,
season.
You see. He ran a lot as a 2-year-old, and I think there's always a tendency to think, you know, he's had his day, he might be a bit exposed as kind of later maturing horses come along. But, you know, again, Aidan O'Brien, he's as we saw with Saxon Warrior at the weekend, he doesn't mind running them. And I definitely think it's worth a go. A bit more mileage in this price, I can understand that. If he drifted out to like 6-1, 13-2, you might have a decent bet on. But I certainly think he's worth, I'm quite a forgiving kind of a person, so those form figures don't worry me too much, because for me, they've just come over the wrong trip for him.
Okay, understood. Tom, any final words? Just you talking about US Navy Flag then. Really not impressed by him?
No, look, he's just one of those horses that people talk about as being certain to be a top-class sprinter. Now, I get that he's going to drop back to 6 furlongs and be more effective than he has over mile, but I don't know. I don't. He sweats. He sweats. He wears blinkers. There's a lot. There's a lot not to like about him. Well, in this heat, yeah. God, blimey, yeah. But do you know what I mean? He just doesn't do it for me. He doesn't look like a top class horse. He doesn't move like a top class horse. And it won't be a great July Cup if he wins it in my book.
Okay, there we go.
Maddie, girls perspire. They don't sweat.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
I didn't say anything about me in this. Anyway, Binners, any thoughts on the July Cup?
Well, I'm looking forward to the postcast later in the week, as are the Reading boys, Maddie, because no doubt...
How much have these Reading boys paid you, Binners?
Listen, they bought me a couple of drinks, so I love them forever. But anyway, hopefully we'll have Frank Hickey on later in the week, because he's second to Maddie Plough in their estimation. I agree with Tom Limato. They've been tried over the mile. Doesn't seem to get that. And he's finished first and second in the race the last couple of years, justified 9-2 favouritism in 2016, and 12-1 looks a reasonable price to me.
Okay, so plenty of different opinions there for the July Cup. As promised, we'll revisit the race on Friday in the tipping show, and we'll review the Coral Eclipse right after this.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back to this Monday postcast. We've done the previewing of Newmarket's July meeting, and now we're going to go to the Coral Eclipse on Saturday and talk about that. Lots being said, Watsy, about the time it took for the stewards' inquiry, even the value of having the jockeys interviewed. Some people saying that's more or less irrelevant, and they should just focus on the actual footage. What did you make of the whole debate as a race?
The aftermath of it, after they crossed the line, kind of passed me by a little bit. I've got to say, you know, I'll be totally honest, I was kind of flicking around a lot on Saturday watching the racing, but not particularly concentrating on the aftermath of it. So, I mean, what I can comment on is the race that I saw, which was brilliant. And I'm glad that Roaring Lion got the verdict, because, I mean, he's an old favourite of mine. Tom will tell you this. I've been with him all the way through the season. And I know everyone before the race was, particularly after Massar came out of it, was kind of a little bit harsh on the three-year-old, saying, you know, a lot of them aren't very good and all that kind of stuff. But I always thought Roaring Lion had the potential, when he put everything together, to be a standout three-year-old, because there's been something to take from each of his runs this season from that. I mean, you got walloped by Massar first time out by 9 lengths, but then you got closer to him in the Guineas. Then he won the Dante really impressively. There was a lot to take from his Derby run over a trip too far, when I thought he was really professional, and he hasn't always been that in his career, because he does have a tendency to wander about a bit. And he did on Saturday, actually, when things got a bit desperate with Saxon Warrior. But he reminds me a little bit of Raven's Pass a few years ago. He used to get beaten by Henry the Navigator all the time early in his three-year-old career, and then came good kind of in the middle to second half of it, and ended up winning really good races and won at the Breeders' Cup. Roaring Lion is definitely a worthy winner of the Eclipse. I think he's one to be with for the rest of the season. And I think if John Gosden campaigns him well, as I'm sure he will do, and he'll probably go for the international at some stage if there's nothing else before, then I think at the end of the season we'll be talking about him as you know, a really, really good three-year-old, and forget about all this talk about mediocre ones. I think he deserves his place at mile and two at the top of the tree. He is a really good horse, and I'm glad he's won.
Excellent. And I think, Binners, you'll correct me on this, but Roaring Lion 4-1 for the Judgment International?
He was, Maddie, immediately after the race. We went 4-1 joint favourite with Poet's Word. That price from 11-2 Roaring Lion. That price punters have considered too big, and he now heads the market at 7-2 for Poet's Word, 5 Saxon Warrior and Massar, 6 Enable, 8 Cracksman, and it's 10 Bar.
Okay, brilliant. And Tom, Roaring Lion, he was always going to hold on to the race, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He looked the best horse by a mile, didn't he?
Well, I'm not sure he was the best horse by a mile. He was the best horse by about a neck, as far as I can remember. I didn't get all that nonsense after the race. It seems like they were just doing their job. I mean, it's only because the football was on. No one would have even noticed it if the football hadn't been on. We'd have just gone on to, you know, carried on regardless and watched, you know, it'd have come out before the next race. So I thought that was a bit of a storm in a teacup. I liked him. I liked Saxon Warrior, actually. I was quite surprised. I went into the race thinking I didn't fancy Saxon Warrior at all. I thought he was back to...
Is that because the Irish Derby was terrible, Tom?
Correct. Correct, Binners. Correct. And I thought he ran better than I was expecting him to. I'm not convinced it was anything to do with the drop. The trip was definitely the making of him. I like the way he travelled better. He just moved more stylishly into the race. And so I could see him and Roaring Lion having another couple of cracks later on in the season. And I wouldn't be certain Roaring Lion would beat him. I think it's 2-1 now, isn't it, to Saxon Warrior? I get Watsy's point that he's getting better, but I think Saxon Warrior is going to become a horse. Having said last week that I would never back him again, after last week, he might become a horse that's too big a price in the near future, because I thought he was miles, miles better than I was expecting him to be on Sandown. And he obviously had a rubbish preparation compared to Roaring Lion for the race. I could see him at York or dropping back to a mile being a horse I might be get back interested in. I think obviously something's been up with him, but I thought he moved better. He was just more happy. The demeanour was just better from start to finish. So maybe last week when I was in the grumpy mood, I got it. I was wrong about Saxon. I'll give him another shot.
How about that?
What do you reckon?
I just see.
I'm not that nasty.
No, not today. Anyway, do you not think that, you know, Saxon Warrior had the run of the race a little bit? Roaring Lion was pushed out wide, and he travelled like
very much so.
You could call Roaring Lion the winner from somewhere out. I thought, what's he? Couldn't you?
I'd take your point about the Ballydoyle tactics. It was obviously to try and keep him out wide, and for Saxon Warrior to have a better trip through than Roaring Lion, but. Strong Gosden said the horse doesn't pull, so it was okay. The fact that he didn't have any cover. I just think he's got a really good turn of foot, this horse. I don't know, I think maybe went a bit early on him in the RP Trophy last year when Saxon Warrior had time to battle back past him. But yeah, you know, he's just a horse with I think he's got a killer turn of foot, and I think he's just getting better with every run. So I'm going to, if they met again, I would stick with Roaring Lion all the time.
I'm Team Watsy, Tom.
I get the impression you are not you've followed me in love from last week and saying you cannot stand Saxon Warrior and will never back him ever again. Is that right?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Ah, there we go. You quite like Saxon Warrior.
I just think Roaring Lion was the better horse, and it was very,
definitely
very
was the better horse on Saturday,
was
wasn't
the it? Better horse.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Anyway, it's not about me this postcast. Binners, any words on the Coral Eclipse, seeing as you were there having a wonderful time in the sunshine?
Yeah, it was an absolutely brilliant spectacle. We saw one of the best finishes I can remember for a long time. I think, as John Gosden said, it'd be great if Roaring Lion, Saxon and Massar all turn up at York. That's what we'd like to see. And you guys have already mentioned it. Roaring Lion showed a tremendous turn of foot. Saxon Warrior... Yeah, possibly did have a little bit of an easier run through the race, but he nearly won it. And it'll be interesting to see if he does go back to the mile or sort of stick to this 10 furlong trip.
Okay, it's impossible to say, but final question on this race. Where do you think Massar would have finished? Because some people think Roaring Lion would have beat him anyway.
God, that is a good question, actually. It's a very good question. Based on the Derby form...
That's not me.
What the hell is that?
What is that? Is that Binners?
I can only apologise.
It's Binners.
It's the Reading boys on the phone again.
No, that's... You weren't here last week, you two. That's his home phone number.
Oh, dear. No one be ringing Binners' home phone number. I thought it was
that
some
was
sort
definitely
of
his home... Was that, Binners, was that your home phone number?
It's going again.
It was. I can only apologise, lads.
I thought he was taking the mickey out of you, Tom, for saying you're a clown for back in Dreamfield.
It's Giuseppe Garibaldi on the phone.
What's he?
Sergi Prokofiev.
Massar, where would he have finished?
That's a very good question. It's impossible to say. I mean, you go back to the Derby form, and he would have been a comfortable winner. And, you know, he won the Solario at Sandown pretty easily last season, so, you know, he obviously goes at the track and... There's
Do
no
you
reason
feel that
to.
Roaring Lion's improved.
Yeah, I think it would have been closer over a mile and two, because I think there's no doubt Roaring Lion probably doesn't get a mile and a half, so it would have been tight. But it's a shame we were robbed of that. Let's just hope, you know, if all three make it to York and go for the international, that would be a hell of a race. That would be worth tuning in for.
It will be. Tom, whose side will you be on there? Saxon Warrior, or where do you think Massar
would
have finished?
No, I'm not. I just think Saxon Warrior is a horse that might become too big a price. That's all I'm saying. I think Massar would have won. I think he's the best horse. But I get what everyone's saying. Roaring Lion is improving. John Gosden has a great record with these horses. They get better as the season goes on. He's the best trainer we have of a good horse. So I fully understand where everyone's coming from. I just think that Roaring Lion is now going to be the sort of favoured one, the chosen son, as I like to call him, now, whereas before he wasn't. And therefore, there's not much between the three of them. And when you have those situations, I like being on the one that's the biggest price, because I think they could all beat each other on any given day. That's simple as that.
Got you. We've got a plug on the running order for the World Cup postcast, which is out now for the semi-finals. Just final question before we go. Binners, do you reckon it's coming home?
Oh, obviously, Maddie.
Simple as, obviously. Watson, any thoughts on the football?
Why about Belgium, thinking England weren't going to do any good at all? So if Belgium and England get to the final, I haven't had a bean on England. Do I?
I think Bruce has done the same, actually. I think you're in the same
boat. Do I stay patriotic and root for England, or do I think about the money and go to Belgium?
Solid, hard cash, Watsy. Think of that lovely holiday with the Duchess of whoever you'll be off with.
Yeah, but you know what it means now? It means France and Croatia are probably going to be in the final. We'll all be out of pocket and miserable,
Do you think England could do it, though?
They'll certainly get to the final, I think. I think they'll beat Croatia, but I think Belgium and France, whoever gets it out of their quarter, is going to be hard to beat, and they'll probably start favourites. But, you know, we can dream.
We can dream indeed. Tom, are you dreaming?
Well, I think we'll get to the final, and I think we'd have a chance against the French. Oh, they don't like us very much. I think we'd give them a game, but I think the Belgians would thrash us. I think they're far too good for us. But I think if France happened to beat Belgium and we got through against Croatia, I think we'd win it. Yeah, why not?
Some optimism from Mr. Cigar.
Exactly. Everywhere I go, all of a sudden, people telling me, oh my God, do you think England can win? I said, why not? They're 5-2, aren't they, or something?
What do the Reading boys think, Binners?
Yeah, Reading boys. Oh, they don't think anything if they've got anything to do with football.
Yeah, they don't care about football. All they care about is horse racing and Maddie Plough.
On that bombshell, we will leave you for this week. If you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe to them on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or on any other platform you're listening to us on. We'll see you soon.
My first takeout, Bruce, was that it was the worst derby I've ever seen in my entire life, I think, and that bar none. What the hell were Sylvester D'Souza and Mark Johnson doing? I reckon they were 3-1 at the start of the race, about 6-4 after 2 furlongs, and 33-1 after about 4. They allowed the race to then turn into a stupid race. Everything about it suggests that the race was just a nonsense from start to finish. The worst derby I've ever seen in my entire life, bar none.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.